this special episode of the Caravan Tour of Terror, a show that finds us touring the globe through the medium of horrific, chilling and disturbing entertainment. My name's Donald and I'm the driver in this quest. Joining me on my side as always, the road atlas on his laps, my navigator, I saw Ali.
Wow.
I'm going for the record of quickest introduction.
Yeah, quickest introduction we've had so far.
You didn't say hello.
Hello.
This show is a little different. It's a Halloween special, so as such, we're not in any particular country. But this year, as is our annual tradition, we managed to watch 8 horror films. So I thought, why not just discuss them a little bit? Spoiler-free. Commit to me now that they're spoiler-free.
Do my best.
Don't do your best. They're spoiler-free. And if there's any spoilers, they're getting taken out. So it's absolutely spoiler-free. We're going to be fine. All right?
So that Bruce Willis one, like, I
no.
couldn't see when it
Thing. My Jeeps.
We are going to talk about them in the order in which we watched them, not any other particular order. So first up, we watched The Empty Man, a 2020 rated 18 horror film directed by David Pryor. A series of mysterious disappearances in a small Midwestern town may be linked to a supernatural entity. That's the blurb, and it does not say a lot about that film. On you go, Ali.
You're going to have to do me a wee bit of a favour and remind me of this one, because not only was it the first one we watched, I do conflate this one and the second one because they both starred the same actress.
Ah, yes. For some reason, we had a weird crossover a few times. This is the one that starts in Bhutan.
Okay.
And has James Badgedale in it. And its general themes are... Oh, my God. It's... It gets a bit metaphysical, and there's cult belief in there, but it's also kind of a ghosty Candyman-esque slasher thing going on. Yeah, that's The Empty Man.
Yeah, no, I thought it was not bad as an opener. I've got to say, the opening in Bhutan, I probably could have just done without.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really add much to the movie. Yeah. And lasts...
There's quite a lengthy prologue.
Yeah. Late title card, we'll say. But yeah, it just wasn't... I like what it does, but it doesn't really tie into the story that much.
Yeah.
Which isn't spoiling anything, like...
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
Again, a decent opener. Maren Ireland's... Good actress.
Maren Ireland. This film, when it released, didn't get any kind of great praise, but it seems to have picked up on streaming and stuff. And a mutual friend of ours had recommended it to us ages ago. We only just got around to watching it. Was it really a 2020 release? Mm-hmm. Feels like it was even longer ago that we were told, hey, we need to watch this. I like the bits that weren't your... So the movie's kind of partly your kind of Bye Bye Man style thing.
There's a lot of that. Like, yeah, there's
a lot of
that. And
then partly something that's much more heady and complicated and undefinitive. I don't know if that's a really good word for it, but you know what I mean if you'd watched it. And I like the bits that were more about the headiness and getting into weird spaces. And I didn't particularly enjoy the literal empty man of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's based on a graphic novel, which I thought was weird, actually. It just didn't strike me as a kind of graphic novel story, but I think from the brief Googling I did of it, the graphic novel seems a bit... The synopsis is, like, the FBI and the CIA join forces to investigate strange occurrences that are leaving loads of people dead in the town, which isn't what this film's like. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind reading it, but it's you can get it on Kindle for free, unlimited. So not free, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Or you can pay £67 to get it secondhand in a real comic book style-y. Mm-hmm. And I don't read comic books electronically.
No.
Who does?
It's weird. I know a few people that do. It's
I can't get used to it. I could never get used to a Kindle, so it's not, you know what I mean? This is David Pryor's first film, I believe. Debut feature. Let's have a look. I'm not at all prepared. I'm sorry. Could edit this out as well. Oh, David Pryor, the Baron Pryor of Brampton. That's not the David Pryor I want.
Do you know that? What if he's like...
Adblock?
What if he's like Jamie Lee Curtis's husband?
What?
Baron... What's his name? Baron Guest? Baron Hayden Guest?
I don't know who that is.
He's a baron and a guy in the...
Jamie Lee Curtis is married to a baron?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
She seems quite down to earth.
Christopher Guest.
He's a baron?
Fifth baron Hayden Guest.
I didn't know he was a baron. Yeah, it's his first feature. He directed documentaries for The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, DVD, it looks like. He's doing an episode of Guillermo del Toro Presents 10 After Midnight, which hasn't come out yet. He's working on Summer of the Shark. He's the director of it. I don't know. It all looks a wee bit dodge.
A wee bit dodge.
Yeah.
All the way through.
Yeah. But anyway. Yeah, it was a pretty good opener. It was a bit overlong. It's 2 hours, 20 minutes, and you do feel it. You do feel it. I think that might have been where a bit of the complaints. It's a bit slow and it's a bit overlong. And it's got stuff that I would cut out of it. So, but there's the bones of a good movie there. I think that's what I thought of it after the end.
I think we looked at it a bit more favourably because we've seen The Bye Bye Man.
Yes.
And The Bye Bye Man is a fucking travesty of a movie, whereas this isn't. And they do share similar themes.
They both have man in the title.
You called it The Quiet Man about 20 times.
I know, it's very hard to not call it The Quiet Man. I know. It's a rubbish title, which I do not like. I don't like The Bye Bye Man, I don't like The Empty Man.
Don't think it does it.
Right, next up was The Dark and the Wicked.
Another movie starring Maren Aaron.
Yes, next up was The Dark and the Wicked starring Maren Aaron, but starring her properly.
Yeah.
And Xander Berkeley, unrecognizable to me, even though I saw 24. The Dark...
That was so weird. You were like, what? Who is that, man?
I just hadn't seen him in 25 years, and I didn't realize that aged withered him, but I'm sure there's makeup as well. The Dark and the Wicked, a 2020, rated 18 again. How many of these were 18s? Just the first two. Oh no, VHS 94 must have been the 18. Spoilers for what we're getting to later. Directed by Brian Bertino. Plagued by waking nightmares, two siblings suspect that something evil has taken over their family at an isolated farmhouse. Do you remember this one?
Yeah. No, actually,
I don't need to remind you this one.
A wee bit better. this one, like, I feel it had a couple of similar themes to the first one, just in terms of how people's heads get messed with and like stuff like that. But I did feel it was a bit stronger as a movie.
Oh yeah.
I did at the very start. There's always the thing of when children are going back to visit dying relatives, especially parents. Often the real horror was the childhood abuse they went through. And the only spoiler I will give it is it's not that.
I know what you mean. It did seem like it was going that weird way. And there was a bit of tension, but then nah.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with that at all.
Absolutely nothing. The only thing I will say is it didn't know what it wanted to do with its own rules.
Mm.
And it really, you know, there's quite a few points where you're like, well, why is this if this? Mm. Like, so yeah, it's I feel it was definitely a better movie, like all round, but not perfect. That like has its flaws, but again, strong performances.
Oh, we should say, was it scary? We'll go back and do The Empty Man first. Was it scary?
No.
Nah, not really. The Dark and the Wicked. Was it scary?
Not really.
I thought it was. We're jaded, remember.
Yeah, it's a thing that I've been really struggling with over the last few months.
I think The Dark and the Wicked is quite scary. There's some pretty good imagery there. I can't spoil anything. In the barn, that's scary.
Yeah. It has more tense moments and does better with its horror trappings than The Empty Man.
Ooh, trappings. I like it. I liked it. It was more of your... It's kind of... It doesn't do, like, anything remarkable. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's...
Like, it's a wee bit different. It's not totally... It's not completely rote or anything like that, but it's not... It's just a pretty okay spooks movie. It won't blow your mind or anything, but I think it's
both in terms of setting and in terms of how I feel that it did with its premise. It reminded me of Brightburn.
I barely remember Brightburn. You remember it much better than I do.
Mm.
Superboy's bad. That's all I remember about Brad Byrne. His eyes glow red. Roy's in it.
Roy's in
it. I don't know if I'd remember that if you hadn't mentioned that the other day.
I kept saying David Denham, and you were like, who?
Brian Bertino directed Strangers.
Okay.
Brian Bertino. Is it Brian Bertino? I thought it was.
It is.
No, shut up. All right, never mind. I think I'm confusing one director for another. I'm now looking creepily at the other directors, trying to remember who the hell it is.
He really is. While he's doing that, I'm going to say that you would think that because we watched eight movies, that we watched four in the first night and four in the second night. And that is absolutely not the way we did it. That is all the movies we watched on the first night.
To be fair, The Empty Man, I think, cost us because there was a third movie which we didn't watch. And I'm going to lay the blame at the feet of The Empty Man for kind of sapping a bit more of our energy than it intended. We were going to watch Boys from County Hill, a Northern Irish movie starring Lalla, not starring, but featuring Lalla Roddy.
Any appearance by Lalla Roddy as a starring appearance.
Yes, but we didn't even watch it. So we can't exactly say that now, can we? Love that guy. Did watch the film. Still don't watch it either.
I didn't know he was in it until
I knew that your heart was in it, and I was like, I won't tell him. I'll just let him go to sleep.
Yeah, because otherwise I would have been, it's a Roddy fest. Let's do this.
Yeah, that was Dark and Wicked. Should we out of 10 them as we go? Just gut shot.
Okay.
Just gut shot. Empty Man, gut six. Shot. Six. I'd go 7, but on the caveat that it's my kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'd say 7. Dark and the Wicked?
7. There's a part of me that wants to give it a 6 as well, but I can't because I gave Empty Man a 6. And I feel in a few movies.
Yeah.
I might come back and be like, Empty Man was actually a 5.
Oh my God. All right. I'd give it a 7 with no caveats, which probably means that Empty Man's 6.5. Right, day 2. We started with Werewolves Within, 2021. Rated 15, directed by Josh Rubin. After a snowstorm traps its residents together inside the local inn, newly arrived forest ranger Finn and postal worker Cecily must try to keep the peace and uncover the truth behind a mysterious creature that has begun terrorizing the community. Werewolves Within.
Werewolves Within.
The film based on the Ubisoft video game, based on the parlor game.
The card game based on the parlor
game.
No,
I don't think it's directly based on the card game for copyright reasons. I think they just based on the parlor
True.
Game. But the parlor game is itself based on a different parlor game. So.
Yeah.
Not high hopes coming in, and the Ubisoft logo came up at the start, which also didn't.
Yeah.
But thoughts? I thought it was pretty funny, not scary. Not tense, even really. No. Not jumpy. Anyone could watch this. It's a comedy movie.
Oh, really. It is a comedy movie. There is gore, but...
A bit.
There's quite a lot.
That's the main thing I'm thinking of. I'm not going to say what I'm thinking because it's just spoilers.
Yeah, there's some gore, but no, it is very much like I would say it's less scary and dramatic than like Shaun of the
Dead. This wouldn't have needed to cut a lot to be a 12A.
No, not at all. Like, not at all. Just
some of the gratuitous gore, just a little bit. There's not a lot.
No,
and it would be 12A.
But yeah, it's I really enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, I did too. It was a fun old time with some good laughs. Passed the 5 laughs test, which I've ripped off from Mark Kermode, I'd say.
Got one pretty much right off the bat, I remember.
Yeah.
Within the first
minute. The plot's a wee bit... It goes a wee bit all over the place.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of like a whodunit, really. It's not... I saw it compared to Clue with werewolves. Which it is, but in trying to keep you guessing, it kind of goes a bit wonky towards the middle and end is a bit wonky, but it kind of writes itself and it built up some goodwill by that point, so it's all right.
It definitely goes a lot, like, it's a lot better written in its humor than it is in its story, and its, you know, murder mystery. You know, this isn't Knives Out.
It's kind of got that, it does have that... the cast of characters are all drawn really broad to be memorable and different in that kind of way, though. So it is, it kind of did remind me a bit of Knives Out in that way.
Yeah,
like,
no,
there's that one.
No, totally. I mean? It definitely has that, but what I'm meaning is like that kind of like really thinking of like, oh, can I figure this out? Like, you're there for the ride more than you're there for the...
Yeah, no, yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you give it?
I'd give this a 6, but it's a fine 6. It's a fine...
A six. An 8.
Eight?
An 8.
You're a fucking maniac.
I really enjoyed that movie.
You're a maniac.
A 6.
Yep.
Less than The Empty Man.
6 means it's good.
Less than The Empty Man.
Yeah, 6 means it's good. 6 means I'd recommend it to certain people that like that kind of thing. Yeah. 6. If it was a bit tidier and it's plotting, it probably would have been a 7. And it was funny, but it wasn't like, you know, it didn't quite reach that top tier of, you know, your classic Cornetto trilogy stuff. It's a 6. Yeah, fuck you, it's a 6. It's the, I think it's the highest rated video game movie of all time. Yeah. Which isn't hard.
No, it's not at all. Especially considering the reviews that are coming out of Welcome to Raccoon City.
Oh, I've not seen it.
Oh my god!
Shocking. The trailer was awful.
People, I think one review said it's they ripped the plot and the acting straight out of the video game.
That makes me want to see it more. To be honest,
I know.
And we agree, not scary. That's Werewolves Within. Next, we watch The Old Ways, a 2020 rated 15 horror movie directed by Christopher. I don't know why I keep saying horror movie as if there's going to be a romantic comedy in here somewhere. Directed by Christopher Allender. Christina, a journalist of Mexican origin. This is in the blurb. I don't know. I suppose it's... Is it important for the blurb? Travels to her ancestral home in Veracruz. No, it's immediately rendered redundant by the next part. To investigate a story of sorcery and healing. That's The Old Ways. On Netflix here. I liked this film quite a bit, I think, actually. I remember we had fun with it. Second movie up. It's kind of like a bottle movie. It looks like...
This movie takes place in...
Mostly in one room.
Yeah,
mostly in one room with a little bit of a cave. So they seem to have used their budget on other things. But so it must be... What is the budget for this movie? It must be pretty bloody low. It doesn't even say.
But it's a well-put-together movie.
We could say a little bit more straight off the bat.
It's a possession movie.
Yeah. Christina gets possessed and there's a bruja.
A bruja.
Which is... I don't think witch is really... Wise woman.
I think it's like a bruja is a bruja.
Yeah,
like,
kind
of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a kind of like...
It's a village wise woman kind of deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe
shaman.
A bit. Yeah, yeah, it's that kind of thing. Kind of holds her captive, but tells her that, you know, you're possessed.
And she grew up in America, so she's a disbeliever.
Yep, all that good stuff. I thought it was good. The protagonist gets a bit way totally different on this. I found her really irritating in that I was like, I wasn't believing of her motivations. I don't want to spoil too much of it, but I was just like, come on for fuck's sake. Whereas you were like, yeah, right on. She's she's totally in the right.
Yeah, we really did. And I suppose that is a testament to the movie in a sense of like, It hit the two different sides of what we agree, think on that part. And it is basically to do with her believing of the, like, she is held captive, but there is the whole for your own good kind of thing. And that's where you and I really differed. Yeah. And I was furious the whole movie because of this captive situation, despite the fact I know I'm watching a horror movie. And of course there's going to be some sort of weird shit going on. But no, I totally, like, I was on the thing of like, fucking, this is what I would do in this situation. You're like, no, you're going to get yourself murdered.
It also had a terrible, terrible one-liner in it.
It's an awful moment. It's a really bad moment.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say I'm a motherfucking bruja.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a spoiler? Probably.
in a movie that keeps its kind of setting and atmosphere really tight throughout the whole thing, it stood completely out of place as this kind of Americanized line of like, cool off, like that shit. Like, it's not a pun, but it might as well have been at that point. The kind of feeling it's given across on, and it really just doesn't hit.
Kind of also has two endings as well.
Aye.
Like, I wish, I don't know if the second ending, I don't know. Maybe it's a story of them getting extra budget and adding bits in. I don't know. Maybe this was always the vision, but I don't know. They could have made it slightly better by just trimming a few bits that kind of went a bit silly. Which I'm probably going to say about other films, actually. Yeah, I am.
Yeah, no, it's...
Kill your darlings, Alistair, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
How many times have I said this movie should be shorter? Yeah. Not even just tonight. But
no, generally, we've had lots of discussions.
Why do they include some of these bits?
Yeah, we've had plenty of discussions while watching movies, after watching movies, just in general about the length of movies of, like, just... A lot of movies like to be long and don't really value the viewer's time.
Yeah.
Or
you can sense an appeal to mainstream in a movie that otherwise didn't need it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting movie like this one.
Yeah.
And then just occasionally little nods to silliness. Eh. So, but that's been quite negative on the whole. Really, of what is a pretty good movie with good character. It was interesting and it was characterful, as you said. And if we go to Mexico, it'd be pretty easy just to choose this one. Because it's, you know, I don't know how accurate it is, but I mean, you feel like you've enjoyed something other than the norm.
What would you give it?
I'd give it a... What would you give it?
I'd give it a 7.
I think
it's a higher 7 than the Dark and the Wicked for me.
Mm.
Again, this is kind of, as you said, off the cuff. We've not really discussed this. We kind of watched the movies and have recorded.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at those first two movies of, they were quick judgments. But yeah, this one's a 7, probably a higher 7.
I'm going to say 6.
Yeah,
I thought you would. It's nearly a seven.
No, I think it does well. Because did you find it scary?
Yeah, a bit.
So I found there are good moments.
Yeah,
there are definitely good moments, and it uses its CGI and its tricks sparingly and well.
To be honest, it looks good.
It's a bit long. But that's movies these days. So, yeah.
It's not even long, but what it is it just includes extra bits. Maybe to get to that 90 minutes, maybe, when it didn't really have 90 minutes in it.
Yeah,
it 80 minutes, it's fine.
Yeah, I'm sure there were a few moments in that one where we were like, was this a reshoot? did they think that people wouldn't understand this part, so they filled in this?
Yeah, who knows? So. But anyway, all right. Next up was The Night House, 2020 rated 15 horror film directed by David Bruckner. Reeling from the unexpected death of her husband, Beth is left alone in the lakeside home he built for her. She tries as best she can to keep it together, but then nightmares come. The Night House.
Yep.
All right, moving on. No,
moving on.
What did you think of The Night House?
It's probably our highest, like, profile movie. Mm-hmm.
Which is ironic because it's the director of The Ritual. Which is fine.
Yeah, well, so that the reason I recognize David Bruckner's name is from the VHS movies.
Yep.
Which he created and put.
He's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He didn't have anything to do with 94, but he was gonna.
Spoilers again. We're going to talk about that. He's an executive producer on
it. Yeah. He was going to direct at least a segment. I think he's credited with writer, but that might just be because he created it. Because I don't think he actually had. Don't know how much he had to do with the segments, but VHS, The Ritual, The Night House, and he is the director of the new Hellraiser film, which is why he could not work on VHS 94. The
Tommy Wise, an executive producer.
The reboot of the Hellraiser films. Yeah. The Night House.
So, yeah, Rebecca Hall stars and is also a producer on this, which I was like, when that came up at the start, I was like, okay, like, you know, clearly a project she wanted to get involved in. And she's got her credentials, you know. She's not your usual, like, straight up horror movie actress, and that's why I thought this was just going to be a drama. It fucking isn't. I'm not going to go, I'm not going to go too much about it. A woman, so Rebecca Hall's husband kills herself out on their nice backyard lake and their nice rich house. And she's struggling with it, and she begins to basically hear things, see things, like haunted house kind of stuff, and it unravels from there. Her performance in this is great. She, like, and again, it's one of those it's not a single person feature. We've had some of them where basically we've got one coming up in a minute, but we've got that, like, she pushes that movie forward, like, and it is a really stellar performance. And I enjoyed the movie.
I thought I knew very little, as little as possible about these films going in. The one I knew the most about was probably Werewolves Within. Oh, I mean, VHS, I can kind of guess what it's going to be like. But from what I knew about this movie, it sounded to me like it was going to be, you know, the dementia horror movie Relic, that's just a huge allegory for dementia and your old, and it's full of imagery and stuff, but it's depressing as hell. I thought this was to do the same thing to Spousal Death, and I was like,
Spousal Suicide,
really not looking forward to it in that sense. But I was like, I almost didn't include it in the lineup, because I was like, see, when you're midway through a 6-movie marathon and you introduce a heavy Spousal Death movie. I mean, if it was Relic in this slot, well, there's no way we could watch 3 movies after it.
God, no.
But it's not like that at all, really. And the plot's interesting, and it deals with... It toes a fine line between dealing with, like, quite big things, like the what happens after we die, which personally for me is something that I don't like thinking about. So this movie triggered me slightly. And, like...
Coping with loss.
And what do you do when you've lost someone you were that close to? Like, how do you carry on after that?
Things like coping with a friend who's going through a loss.
That kind of stuff. But also, it's got, like, your genuine scares and also, like, an unraveling plot that goes places that you really wouldn't initially expect.
An intriguing plot that does keep pulling you along. You think it's starting to get a wee bit slow, and then it introduces something
It's quite surprisingly gripping, and the effects are subtle and good. And, so I would say this is a 9 out of 10 for me. And it was scary. And I'd say it was the scariest movie of the night, because it's the only movie that I'm sure got everyone who was watching twice, which I don't think any other movie did. And it genuinely was creepy and a bit, not disturbing is the wrong word, but genuinely very good.
And under 2 hours.
And 1 hour 47. I had a great performance by Rebecca Hall. He manages to be funny at parts, which is mental.
I think
genuinely funny at a few places, but also really, you know, tortured and stuff. Really good, and I would recommend trying to recommend it to people who would normally watch horror movies, although it is scary as bollocks.
I would put
it's
this
a very well-made movie.
If I was recommending this to people, I would be like, oh no, it's a drama. I think I'm pushing onto a 9 as well.
That's good.
It's definitely between an 8 and a 9, but it's you don't, again, it's not your super full-on horror, but
no, it's not, but it's enough.
Like, movies like this in the horror genre don't actually come along very often. One where you can, both within the horror community and without of it, recommend it.
It's strong though, because it is pretty fucking scary at times. Like, I mean, my mom and dad sitting down to watch this, no, they would not go. But, you know, Like,
but it's got that Rebecca Hall in it. That Rebecca, I like her.
Oh dear, but it's just such a well-made movie, and the plot's totally horror. It doesn't do anything but it's just I don't know, it just really works a lot of levels, and I hope
and some of the camera works fantastic,
yeah, and some of the effects is great. So I really hope it finds an audience out with the tiny little horror niche that it's carved out for itself just now, if you get me, because it's not box office 15 million. It's on Stars here, which is part of the Disney app. So anyone with Disney, I'm going to say, have you watched The Night House? Maybe give The Night House a watch. Mm-hmm. If I think they're at all going to be interested. Very good.
Yep.
Very good. Right, next up, Censor, 2021, rated 15, horror movie, directed by Prana Bailey-Bond. Film censor Enid takes pride in her meticulous work, guarding unsuspecting audiences from the deleterious effects of watching the gore-filled decapitations and eye-gouging she pours over. Censor.
Censor has a very particular style to it.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I remarked during it that it really reminded me of Richard Iwadi's The Double.
Which I've not seen.
Which you've not seen. Which no one there had seen. Fucking Philistines. It has that kind of like oppressive Soviet kind of look and feel to it, both
Britain in the 80s,
which is Britain in the 80s. It's about Enid, who is a censor for the BBFC, not stated the company, I don't believe.
Yeah, it's the Video Nasties era.
Yes, during the Video Nasties era, and the two main driving points of the plot are, one, she is brought under scrutiny because one of the movies she reviewed was apparently the inspiration for a real life murder. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the other part is a movie she's been assigned to review is strikingly similar to her sister's disappearance when she was younger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And those are the two main things that drive it. Mm-hmm. Very British movie.
Yes.
Very British movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't even know if Americans would understand the context as much as we would.
Ah, but I mean,
that is not to say that they wouldn't get an enjoyable movie.
Yeah.
I'm just meaning how fucking British it is.
Well, I mean, they won't have the context, but I mean,
thematically they will. They went through the same thing, especially with their music.
We've watched movies on this trip where we were like varying degrees of, oh right, okay, that's interesting too. I think this is trying to say something to its audience that we wouldn't particularly understand.
Yeah,
I don't think Censor's quite there like that, but I think the thing that helps it is these moral panics. All cultures have them. So, and I think a Video Nasties thing, I don't know. I wonder if Americans know. I'm sure American horror enthusiasts would know about it, at least in passing. Mm. So I think it's got enough that you're probably okay there. That's not to take away from the fact that it does feel like a total time capsule. It might be kind of the thing where, I mean, we weren't properly stoying about in the 80s experiencing it. So this might be...
I'm 54, I don't know what you're
This might
about.
Be what we think the 80s was like, yeah, as opposed to what the 80s was like, because it's very fucking grey and grim. I mean, no one smiles in this 80s at all.
I mean, to be fair, have you ever talked to anyone that did live through the 80s? That is pretty much what
I thought
what
it was
say.
Cocaine and Ferraris.
No, that was just Miami. That was just Miami. In Bournemouth, it was a little bit different.
So get back a wee bit of the plot. So Enid, it's almost a mystery film, but to talk about the plot, that's not really what you're here for. It's more the style of the thing.
Yep, it's a very kind of like I mean, in terms of similarities, it's your Saint Maud, or for regular listeners, Hagazusa.
Yeah,
that kind of the unraveling of a psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And whether things are real or not, and watching them on a journey, and it's
The plot's kind of boilerplate, really.
The plot is very boilerplate. What it does differently is its style.
Yeah,
it's,
exactly. Its use of color and its shots and aspect ratio and different mediums to film on. It's very evocative of the films that it's referencing. In terms of the plot, in terms of Video Nasty kind of thing.
Oh man, it references Video Nasties. It references stuff within itself. Yeah. Like, this is a movie made by someone who really...
It's a fucking nerds movie.
It's a fucking nerds movie.
It's really
movie.
Fucking it
was
nerdy.
This was made by a real fucking Video Nasty horror movie nerd.
Yeah. So that will definitely affect your mileage.
And all credit to her. Like, it's,
It's very... It's her vision, I'd say. It's feels like a passion project for sure.
Yeah.
There's no fucking... what am I trying to say? There's no studio interference going on this one.
Jesus, no.
It's got a really good central performance by Niamh Algar as Enid.
Yes, and it's got the man, the myth, the legend, Michael Smiley. I love him so much.
Tires from Space, yes.
Tires from Space.
Just one of these guys that we've adopted as one of our favorite actors for some unknown reason.
I mean, Kill List and Come to Daddy are two that pop into my head, but he is genuinely a great actor.
He is genuinely good.
But yeah, we have definitely picked him up and been like, you're ours now. No, it's I'm going to go first and go nine for me.
High nine.
It's a personal nine, and I understand that. But that it's a movie that really, like, it was a passion project. Mm-hmm, it's a passion project that has come out the other end. Like, if the director isn't looking at this and going, "Nah, nailed it," like, there's not a lot of fluff. There's not a lot of it clips along, and as you said, the use of color, the use of aspect ratios, the use of settings and costumes and everything is so specific. And I adored the ending, not going to give anything away.
Yeah, the ending was
but
great.
It does great stuff with the camera work and what's kind of been played out throughout the movie. It's excellent. I really, really enjoyed it. Definitely a personal nine, but a nine.
Yeah, nice. Controversially, I'm going to give it an eight.
Oh my god,
because it feels like it was kind of movie that's made for me as well. But I don't. It was the movie I knew most about in terms of I knew I really wanted to watch it, and I had to fucking wait till Halloween to watch it.
Yeah.
Everything you said applies. Like, I don't even know particularly what I'm marking it down for, other than
you were wanting a bit of extra special.
I don't know. Well, a nine. I know what a nine is for me, and it was The Night House, and Censor didn't do something equivalent, but it was really, really good. That's all I can describe it as. That's really all I can judge it as. I have to judge all these films against each other. Gut shot. But if I watched it again, it might go higher. I'm not sure. Because, I mean, you know, first watchings for me are never... A lot of time I need to watch something a couple times before I can really... firmly
and
get
it's also like
grasp on
always
it.
Remember we were watching six movies in a day, like that will take it out of you. That will,
and I did, to be fair, to I went into this one with really high hopes, so I think to me
and was, coming off The Night House
and I knew a little bit that it played with the form and it was a bit referential, so I might have set myself
whereas
up
I went in not knowing this movie existed.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but what can I say,
best part about doing this podcast. You source all the movies? I just watch them and talk shit.
My gut says eight. And scary? No.
No.
It's not. It's, no.
It's not that kind of movie.
I was worried if it was going to qualify as a horror movie, which it did.
Oh, absolutely.
But I didn't know because I knew it wasn't that. It wasn't scary.
It's not scary. It's not.
And it's not real. I mean, as a Halloween watch goes, it wasn't really. It was kind of indulgent for me to chuck it on there. But I thought it would be quite fun to watch and see what everyone thought of it.
50% of the audience was like, this is great.
I think they liked it as well.
I don't give a fuck. No, that was... it's... don't know what I was going to say there. You can just edit that bit out.
Oh, great, thanks. Next up is The Djinn, 2021 horror movie, rated 15. Directors David Charbonnier and Justin Powell. A mute boy becomes trapped in his apartment with a sinister monster after making a wish to fulfill his heart's greatest desire. The djinn.
The djinn.
The djinn.
The djinn.
The djinn. On you go. Right, I'll remind you.
No, I know, I know. A boy gets chased around the house for 80 minutes by a djinn.
Boy.
A mute boy gets chased about the house for 80 minutes.
A mute and asthmatic boy.
A mute asthmatic boy gets chased around the house for 80 minutes by a djinn.
Yep. That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. That's basically the plot. There's a little bit more setup.
Mm-hmm.
This djinn in this verse, I don't know if this is based, if this is more accurate to legend or not, but the djinn in the, probably not, because it seems very designed for this film. So this is a bottle movie again, because it literally, does it literally take place just in that apartment?
No, there are like two
exterior shot? I know I'm looking at you, but I'm looking in the middle distance because I can't remember that bit.
Yeah.
When does he do that? Who does that?
So it starts with the mute. What's his name? Jeffrey.
Dylan.
It starts with Dylan seeing his mum in the kitchen. And he.
That's the same apartment, isn't it?
That, and it appears to be kind of like a recurring dream for Dylan. And then the movie kind of opens with Dylan and his dad moving into a new apartment.
Oh, so is that the old apartment?
Because they find stuff from the old
house. Yeah,
Is where the djinn comes from.
All right, okay. Yeah, I suppose it's it's a kitchen. It's a flat. It's a kitchen in a flat, though. It's not exactly a crate.
No, I mean, I don't mean about you have very bad memory for that kind of stuff. Like, that's the shit I do pick up on.
It all takes place in two apartments.
Yeah.
Yeah. And 99% of it's one apartment.
Yeah.
And it is, so the rules for this djinn, or genie, is you make a wish, you light a candle, make a wish, you then have to survive an hour.
Yeah, with the genie.
With the genie who takes on human form and conforms to human...
physics and...
Physical restrictions of being a human, but... If he dies, he could take on the form of someone else, but he seems to carry over the accrued damage you've given him.
Yep.
And if you can survive for an hour, blow out the candle, you get your wish. And there's warnings signposted throughout the movie that...
Monkey's paw.
It's a monkey's paw, and he's probably going to try and fuck you over. So the kid is like, cool, I'll sign up for that, and I will not regret it at all.
No.
And I hope it all turns out well.
Oh, by the way, you can the djinn can also sign, because he can't speak and make a wish.
Yeah, that's interesting, but I mean, it makes sense in a way, because the djinn's not English either.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't speak English, so if we said the word special words, I don't know. Okay, he signs the special words. Mm-hmm. Well, fair enough, I guess.
Which is a bit of a... all right.
It was a bit like, huh. I guess that would work.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like Evil Dead. It's not the...
Tape recording.
Yeah. If you translated that into English, I don't think the ghost would have given a shit.
No.
Thoughts on the djinn in terms of, was it good or not?
It's all right.
Yeah, okay.
it's got some neat tricks. It's...
I sense it lost you. It's... 82 minutes long, and I sense it lost you about 65 minutes in.
Yeah.
When the protagonist decides maybe to do a few too many, maybe silly decisions, even though he's a child.
Yeah, yeah.
Potentially to prolong the plot rather than frizzled interest.
The plot is thin. And
it's very thin. We've just told you.
Yeah, and we and they really
and small apartment. Like,
yeah, there's not really a lot of set pieces because it's a movie of set pieces.
Yeah,
and there's not enough. They kind of and they don't really. It's just like we're jumping from this one now to this one. Mm. Like, there's no real sense of like cohesion throughout the whole thing. Mm. It's like, now we're doing the bathroom scene, now we're doing this scene. Mm. And then, yeah, movie's over. And I don't think, like, the kids in the main starring role, he does fine, but I don't think he's strong enough to carry a full performance mute himself. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. a lot of weight to put on a child actor.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he fully pulls it off to what I would have hoped.
It might be too much for
yeah.
any child actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fair. It does fit in a bit of back. We didn't hate it, though. It does fit in a bit of backstory.
Yeah.
And
some cool effects.
Got some cool effects. It's a wee bit scary. It's all right.
Aye. It does fine.
It does okay.
But it's really nothing to write home about. For me, it's probably a six, probably a better six than... I'm probably moving The Empty Man down to five at this point.
He's done it.
As I predicted. This is the movie that just kind of had...
the third highest rated movie so far.
I know. They just had to kind of slot into this. Mm. This is the six, I feel.
Yep. I'm swathering between a five and a six, because six, would I recommend it to people? That probably says enough. It's fat. It's okay. We didn't hate. Like, we had an okay time with it. We didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It did not say it's welcome. It's short. It's fine. It's, you know.
Yeah.
Did it keep us gripped? No. Were people shouting at the boys' decisions? Yes. Mm-hmm. Did we occasionally chuckle? Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's probably a five. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right. Now, this is the ball ache.
Yeah. This is the great one.
Next up was VHS 94. A horror movie from 2021. Rated, I don't know, probably 18.
Probably
18. An hour 43 minutes of five...
Four movies in a wraparound?
Yeah, I think so. So I'll give what I'll do is I'll give the general blurb, then we'll go through it piece by piece, okay? So it's the fourth installment in the horror anthology franchise with segments from franchise alumni Simon Barrett, Seance, and Timo... Giganto, May the Devil Take You to, sorry, May the Devil Take You to, in addition to acclaimed directors Jennifer Reeder, Knives and Skin, Ryan Prowse, Low Life, and Chloe Okunu, Slut. So, VHS 94. So let's start with, we'll leave the wraparound till last.
Okay.
I think. Because okay. It ends last.
Yeah, right? That's true. That's true.
Storm Drain. Reporter Holly Marciano and her cameraman Jeff reporting legend of the Rat Man, who's supposedly been spotted in the city's streets.
Yeah, it's like they're doing a basically a... not a fluff. It's a fluff piece. It's not a good...
Yeah, like the feature pieces that the news do. It's not a current event so much as it's a special report. Is that what they call them? I think
it's
special report.
It's the other side of the feel-good story.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Basically, and they're, you know, it's kind of low profile, low status on not a great network.
Yeah,
that the producer's quick to remind us.
Yep, and then so this reporter Holly kind of, as you say, starts off in like a depressing fluff piece, but then she kind of gets ideas of, oh, we could do something.
Yeah,
we could crusade for something.
So it's rather than just having has anyone seen the Rat Man, it's like a piece on the homeless and the desolate, trying to, what can we do and how do they live?
And it ends up I don't want to spoil anything. It's got some
it gets gross.
Yeah.
Certainly gets gross,
and it's got some pretty good effects. Oh, it's is this the one with the hilarious moment where, and then he's
there's a real great
this is my favorite effect of all of them, and I don't even want to spoil it, but you'll know it when you see it, because it's fucking disgusting but also hilarious.
Oh, it is genuinely hilarious. Really good effect.
It's going to be really hard to describe five of these when we can't spoil them.
Yeah, I think this one does it very, very well with its shaky cam.
Yeah.
Because it does show enough, yeah. but it's bloody enough and scratchy yeah. enough and behind things enough.
Yeah, that... oh, we should say that. So it's VHS 94, so all the pieces are set in 94, some more than others, some could be set anytime. And most of them, like the other ones, are on
yeah. this one
some...
could be set anytime.
Yeah, no, but it's got the style though.
Yeah, just in the same. I mean, like...
it's the next one I was thinking of could be set anytime, but we'll get to that. That could literally be set.
Yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, so some of them play with that kind of thing more than others. But and VHS, it's obviously made to look like a shot video. Blah 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 blah. This one mostly justified the format until the end when it was kind of like, all right,
yeah.
who's shooting this now?
Yeah.
But it played with it enough for a while, and then by the time that happened, it was kind of all over the place, but in a fun way. So that was all
yeah.
right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so Storm Drain, are we going to rate all of these?
No, we're not.
The Empty Wake. At a funeral home, a young woman named Haley is assigned to host a wake for a man named Andrew Edwards. And yeah, she's yeah. left alone overnight.
She's left alone
overnight.
Overnight appears.
Overnight wake.
Yeah, it's
justified by we'll do anything for our customers.
Yeah, it was a special request. Yeah. And yeah, and to be honest, you throw that line in, it does kind of justify it. Like, can I have an overnight wake? Yeah, sure. Fuck it, aye.
So she's left alone, and there's a storm outside,
and no one seems to.
It's a closed casket, so it's basically her in this hall with chairs, but basically no one coming in, and she's getting a wee bit spooked.
Yeah,
late at night.
Yeah,
basically. And this is the one that I think can be said anytime because it doesn't really play with 1994 at all.
No.
So, but no. yeah, and stuff happens.
Yeah, there's the usual bumps in the night.
Yeah,
I'll say that it kind of... I'd say it probably takes too long to get to the point.
Oh, I was going
to
say that as well. Yeah, it does.
When it gets to the point, I enjoyed it, but it definitely yeah. is let down quite a bit by just how long this is.
Yeah, that's not the only one. But it definitely has a problem with pacing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the first half of it is like, all right, we get it.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but then the second half, it's probably the last fucking... Three minutes. They are really fun though, and yeah. they have some really good effects.
Great.
So okay, it was worth it, but you're pushing us a bit here, VHS. Don't fuck around.
Yeah. And it's not like it is the shortest movie anyway.
VHS is
145, I think.
Yeah, something like that. It says on Wikipedia 100. Whatever. Yeah.
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 The subject?
The subject.
This one's a...
A crazy doctor makes machines out of people.
Yep. That's basically it. It's body horror.
Yes. It's pretty classic. There's quite a few. I'm almost associated more with Japanese horror, to be honest. Mm-hmm. This is Indonesian. But the like... not even Tetsuo, Iron Man... Sillier stuff. What the fuck's it called? Hold on. You talk for a bit. I'll find it.
Great. Yeah. So this is the only non-English one in the whole movie, and I really want to know what VHS's link to Indonesia is, because at least another one has had an Indonesian horror movie in it. And here's like caveat. Maybe it's not, and I've just grossly offended a bunch of people. But yeah, it's. I think it's really got. It's another one that has a lot of style to it. And
yep.
It's weird because the effects are really good, except for the gunshots.
Yes, very. The CGI is terrible.
Yeah,
but the practical effects are good. I don't. Is that as generic as it, as general as it is? I'm trying to think, but yeah, I think
yeah,
that, yeah. All the computer generated effects are bad. The practical prosthetics
look really good,
very and fun.
Lot of fun. And yeah, it's weird because the CGI they go for like when they like it's not just a gunshot like yeah. it's firing 50 like
yeah.
At one point there's like five guys firing guns and all the shots look awful.
Yeah, and there's like five CGI squibs. It just doesn't, yeah, it doesn't look real at all. It really doesn't convince you. And it's weird because it should be such subtle CGI, really. I remembered what I was thinking of. Stuff like Tokyo Gore Police and The Machine Girl. I always associate that more with J-horror. I don't know if it's Indonesian horror as well. But that whole fusing, the body horror fusing people with robot parts or gun parts is a huge subgenre in and of itself. So this film, this bit just felt like pretty standard for that kind of thing. And it took far too long to get going, even more so than the last one. This is the one where I could feel it trying our patience, I think. But then when it got there, last half was good. Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The pacing on this, that's like, I'd say this one is probably a little bit better.
Okay.
It just suffers a bit more because it is further on. We've already had one where.
Yeah.
Because I feel that the amount that it, once it gets going, it goes for a while. Like, it is long. But the problem is that like, I don't mind it being long on the tail end there because it uses that and it entertains me.
I'd be interested to know what the different. We might be saying this and they're all the same length and it's just our perception of it. Who knows?
True.
I've not looked up, but yeah.
Even if they are all the same length, that doesn't mean they all deserve the same amount of time.
No, I know, I get it. I'm not disagreeing with you.
So yeah, like I just feel like that the first like third could have been shortened.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Then once it gets going, it's good, and like you've got the plot really kicks in, and then the mentalness kicks in, and it's great from there. Yeah. But
it is. It's body horror rather than I think there's CGI in it that's good. The bullet stuff is shit, is all I'm going to say. It's body horror rather than being spooky horror, which basically everything else we've talked about has been spooky horror. This is body horror. Nice little change of pace. It was good. Terror.
Terror's weird.
An extremist group known as the First Patriots Movement are plotting to blow up a government building and take back America. It is weird.
It's weird.
It's a weird subject for this kind of film. And for a while, I was like, is the horror of it alt-right neo-Nazis?
That is really what it seemed like.
But it turns out that they have a plan. And it involves something much straight out of classic horror.
Yeah. In a really interesting way.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting. And it was just, I think it was just about paced well enough because we were a bit like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Again, I would say it probably drags a bit too much getting into it.
I think this will go away with it a bit better.
I think maybe not as egregiously, but it also could have been because once again I'd watched a couple where the pacing was off.
I think the difference between this one is we didn't really know what was going on for a while, whereas with the previous two we were like, yes, we understand what's happening.
Yeah. You're alone at a wake. Go.
What was that bump?
Yeah.
Repeat.
Yeah.
But it was. Oh, I was just thinking there. One thing we should say about the subject is, there is a big criticism of it, which is it's HD to the fucking max.
Yeah, it's weird.
Other segments are all various levels of. It looks like it's shot on video too. It looks like it's shot on video when the tracking's bad. But the subject, the Indonesian body horror, it really looked pixel perfect HD and like it wasn't giving a shit about trying to look like it matched the other ones, which did
another one that also does it have any reference to 1994?
No,
like the 90s at all.
It's pretty isolated from the outside world. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there was reference to stuff. There was like a news thing.
It's just kidnappings.
Mad scientists. Okay, so it is.
Kidnapping.
I was just trying to think if it referenced anything.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah. But the cool thing about it is that it really excuses the format because there's like first person cameras involved because the subject, you know, if you're fusing mechanical stuff and computers with people, there's really good excuses for why you'd see through their eyes because, you know, it's being recorded that way. Fair enough. Terror kind of okay, they're recording their rebellion, but again, it kind of gets a bit like, why the fuck would you keep recording?
Yeah.
All these movies do this to various degrees, but what?
Yeah, there are. Yeah, there are.
There's no excuse for it at all. They're not journalists. They're terrorists.
It's especially the conceit gets harder and harder the more shit kicks off. And this is not me talking about any one of these. This is just in general that there is a point where every person would put down the camera and run away.
They're all actually, the wake one's really good. Doesn't need to.
Yeah.
They set up cameras in the corners because it's going to be a wake. They'll record it. They'll show it there. Fine. That actually works really well. And you don't need to explain anything because that is all you see it for.
It's a service you provide to the thing if they want.
Fine.
Yeah.
The one before that, Storm Drain, okay, it loses it near the end. But news anchors, fair enough. Subject, okay, it's no one's actually recording it. You see everything through the eyes of these robot things the whole time. Also fine.
I could have even used that to excuse the HD part, except for the start where he is recording stuff.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
It's just too, like, 1994. Mm-hmm. It's 1080p. It looks like it would be 4K if I had a good enough telly.
I know, right?
It really sticks out like a sore thumb. They should have done it like 480p retro internet. Might have covered up some of the effects as well, although some of them are really good. I don't know. But it's hard to crack, but all I can say is it stuck out a sore fucking thumb. And for the first minute, we're all like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It just looks so weird. It takes you aback. So yeah, I don't know. They mostly got away with it to a certain extent. I think Terror probably excuses it because it's the torch he's using, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't have... it doesn't stick out as glaringly, obviously. As
stuff kind of starts happening and it distracts you. But when you think back on it, you're like, all right. So yeah, that was Terror. It was okay. It wasn't my favorite because it's... Probably it's not scary and it's the least horrific, and that might have
What one is your favorite?
My favorite, we've not even talked about the wraparound yet.
I know
it wasn't the wraparound, spoilers. My favorite is probably Storm Drain,
me too, which is quite upsetting considering it's just the agreeing. First one.
All right, yeah. I don't want to spoil it, and it's really hard to spoil because the best bits are right at the end, and it would be a total spoiler to talk about them. But yeah, that's what I liked. I liked the ending.
Yeah, it's.
I liked how they built up to it, and it's my kind of thing.
Yep, the wraparound is a SWAT raid on what was ostensibly a drug den.
Yeah, going into it, that's what you think it is.
And when they get in there, it's a labyrinthine warehouse of madness and horrors.
Yeah, and CRT TVs.
And
playing,
CRT TVs playing
the things we watch.
Yeah.
And it's shit.
It's really bad.
I think that
it has the worst tracing. It's so hard to see at times.
Oh, right, yeah. It's very...
VHS-y.
Yeah, it's distorted as hell. And fair enough. And the acting's pretty bad.
And the actual plot of it is...
It's crap.
And confusing more than anything.
Yeah, and the effects are pretty bad as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of eyes being gouged out, which is like marbles with a bit of jam on to me. Like, not a lot. And the payoff is rubbish. To be fair...
Awful.
I remember the first VHS wraparound was kind of... I remember being kind of spooky because they go
one
to
this... One and two, I think, had decent wraparounds.
I don't even remember two. I think it was one, the one where they turn up at the guy's house and it's a spooky house anyway and he's been obsessively collecting these
things. Is that is one the dead guy?
Or is it two?
I thought two was the
it
dead guy.
It might be. That's the only one I remember as being... I don't need to justify it. That's the only one I remember. and it was fine and it worked and it was kind of like you did kind of think what's happening with that one. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't mind going back to that one. Mm-hmm. This one I was like fucking yeah.
Like every time we went back to it, I was like, please just give me something like, but it was literally as you said, it's like we found another room where there's some eyes on the floor and a hand.
If they're going to be this pathetic, just drop them. Just do four shorts. Yeah. I mean, they're not... they're not linked.
No.
There is no link between these four shorts. Having SWAT team members walk up to a TV and then it fades into what you're watching isn't a link really, is it? They've got no thematic ties to each other. Just have four shorts. They're not going to, obviously, because it's the part of the whole VHS thing now. But
because one just... or two, whatever one it was, I think it was one. You are right. Where they're breaking in to find a specific tape.
Yeah.
And the guy has hundreds of tapes, yeah. So they need to watch them in order to find the right one. But
I also remember
one.
You see, like, maybe...
Yeah, shit happens.
Yeah, you see little creepy things.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't see, the protagonists don't see them, but you see them, and it kind of sets you up to be like, oh shit, we're back here kind of thing.
Example,
what's happened to these guys?
Like, there's a dead guy in an armchair. Like, I know I'm just spoiling VHS, but it's the fourth one now, so...
Fifth one? Fourth.
Fourth one. Yeah. So, yeah, there's, like, one part, they're sitting in the living room. One person's sitting in the living room while the others go explore the house. He watches a video, and in the chair behind him is a dead guy. The guy that owns the house, the guy who's collecting all the tapes. When it cuts back to the wraparound after the short, the guy is no longer in the chair.
Yeah.
That's an interesting development.
Yeah, and
that's
you're like,
a cool, oh,
and it's
fuck.
Been 15 minutes, you're like, wait, shit, uh-huh. Is that guy not there kind of thing?
Rather than just random room... Weird.
Uh-huh.
Oh, there's upside down crosses in this one.
And there's a twist. There's it's
fucking.
I don't even know what to say about the quote unquote twist. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is shit.
Yeah. It's
if you cut out all the bits in between and put this as a short, they'd look at this and go, this isn't making it into a VHS anthology. Yeah. It's shit.
Yeah.
But for some reason, if you make it a wraparound, it's fine for them. I don't really understand it, but... anyway, so that's VHS 94. Rating?
6.
I was
maybe thinking a 7, but the more we've talked about it, it's kind of like there was just too much to let it... But like, it has a lot of individual moments where I'm like, that's cool, but... When you have to watch the whole movie, I just feel it drags it down.
Yeah. Yeah. 6 or 7. 6, probably. Yeah, I think you're right. High highs, low lows. Probably a 6.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably a 6, but like there's bits in there that go up to a 7 and there's bits that go down to a 5.
Yeah.
So if you're averaging 5 shorts, 6 out of 10 is all right. And it's definitely a 3 was shit. VHS 3. Viral.
Awful.
So they're definitely steadied the boat a little bit on this one.
Yeah.
And hope the next one, VHS 95? I don't know, I guess. They can't go 2005, please
that
God.
That would be funny. 85, it's
we always like a good anthology movie, and that was partly VHS. It was VHS, it was ABC's of Death, and VHS is still going, and we still like an anthology movie. Yeah. And... I'm going to be looking forward to the next one because I remember after Viral thinking, oh my God.
I honestly, after Viral, I was like, oh my God.
It's done.
They're done. Uh-huh, yeah, it's completely
done. We're done with them.
Well, Chloe Okuno, please keep making cool, weird stuff. I'd like to see her make a feature length and see something interesting.
Storm Drain. Let's see if she's done anything else. Sorry, I know. I'm looking stuff up live. Known for Slut. I don't know Slut. What is Slut? It's a short, 2014. Okay, that's fine. Has she directed anything?
Was it ABC's Death?
Watcher too? And Rodney and Cheryl. Watcher's in post-production. A young woman moves into a new apartment with her fiancé, only to be tormented by the feeling that she's being stalked by an unseen Watcher in an adjacent apartment.
Cool.
It's got a British guy in it. Byrne Gorman.
Gorman? You know I know who Byrne Gorman is. He was in Torchwood and he was in The Dark Knight.
Yeah, you're a fucking nerd. Well, he's in this.
He was in something else.
Filmed in Romania. And then Rodney and Cheryl in pre-production based on the unbelievable true story of a serial killer, Rodney Alcala. All right. Anna Kendrick's in that. Allegedly.
Yeah.
So that's in pre-production. All right, so it looks like she's doing all right for herself. Probably see her again. Anyway, now you're googling stuff.
Yeah, Byrne Gorman's been in a bunch of stuff.
I'm not going to edit this, by the way.
No, you're
this
not.
Going out nude.
Nude.
So that was our Halloween. Did we? It's not scary, is it? VHS 94.
No,
not really.
No.
But horror fun, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a kind of movie you would want to watch in this situation, not just like sitting down to watch a horror movie.
Yeah, no, no. Yep. So my favorite was The Night House. You've got a tougher choice.
Between Werewolves Within, The Night House.
Shut the fuck. Werewolves Within's not in consideration. It's The Night House really and Sensor.
I really enjoyed
it. It's The Night House and Sensor.
Night House and Sensor.
You gave Werewolves Within an 8. You didn't give it a 9. Step off.
I'm going to say Sensor.
To be different.
To be different, because I'd rather give two recommendations than one for two good movies. But also because I do feel like, you know, The Night House, it's good, but it's pretty run of the mill at times.
Disagree.
Not run of the mill is a bad term to use.
Yeah, take it back.
I'll take it back. Run this back.
Don't try to criticize it. You're not going to get away with it.
Yeah.
We both gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, that's true. I think I really like the fact that Sensor is a passion project that turned out really well.
Fair. And also played with the form more, which if you're into that kind of thing.
Yes. So that's what I meant by run of the mill. It's a bit more straight laced in terms of a horror movie.
Okay. Almost going to argue with you, but I won't.
I know
what you mean.
You know what I mean.
Oh, you're getting my jimmies up.
Ew. Right. Since we're putting this one out naked, I'm going to call it now so that he gets his jimmies away.
Right. Next time you hear us, we'll have watched Bodom or Lake Bodom and we'll be in Finland. Bye.
Bye.